Acts chapter 1,
reading from verse 1. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and teach, until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instruction through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Then they gathered round him and asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of God?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, and in all Judea and Samaria." After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men, dressed in white, stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus, who has been taken from you into heaven, you have seen him go into heaven." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I wonder, have you ever had a stained glass window experience when reading the Bible? A stained glass window experience. Let me explain what I mean. When you see a stained glass window, it's beautiful, isn't it? Maybe one like this, or one of the ones around the church there. You look at it, and it is beautiful. But it seems very old. The people in it seem quite distant and unlike us. It seems beautiful, but a million miles from our lives. Perhaps you've had that experience reading the Bible. You've read about Jesus' life, and it is a beautiful life. And yet it was a long time ago, somewhere very far away from here, somewhere very different. And there is that sense of disconnect. It seems so distant from our lives today. And if that's true of us here, sitting in a church this morning, how much more so for the average person not in church this morning? How much more for our friends, for our family, for our work colleagues? The Bible seems like an alien world, a strange world. Perhaps it's what Jesus calls his disciples to do that sounds outdated or just bizarre. Perhaps for some of them, they look at the church, they look at the people gathered in church and think, "I could never be part of that. I could never belong there. I would not belong with them." And to them, the idea of them coming to follow Jesus seems as distant and impossible as for you or I to step into a stained glass painting. Beautiful, distant, but not something we could be part of. Well, the book of Acts was written for people living amongst those for whom they would have had that similar sense of disconnect. The story of Jesus that they had heard of was of a Jewish man in a land far from where they lived. And there would have been that similar sense of disconnect, that maybe this is a beautiful story, but it's not one that I can step into and be part of. Now, you might know that the book of Acts, it's a sequel. It's a sequel to Luke's Gospel. Luke's Gospel that we've been reading in the run-up to Easter. This is now the sequel to it. It is part two. And just as part one was written to a man called Theophilus to give him certainty, to give him assurance, so too is Acts.
Luke's gospel was designed to both give them assurance that the story about Jesus was real and that it was really for them. And in some ways, the book of Acts is a similar thing for us. It's not just the history of those first disciples. It's not just a history lesson. It's not just a documentary. And it's not even just a manual for how we might do church like them. No, like Luke's gospel, this is history with the purpose of assurance. Confidence that it's really for, not just Jews back then, but for you and I today. Confidence, in fact, that it really is for anyone and everyone. Confidence that this message can really spread. And confidence that the news about him really is good news, both for you and I, and for those we live alongside. I hope you can see how relevant the book of Acts is going to be to us this term. Now, if you've got a good memory, you might remember that last summer we did read the book of Acts. We read the first 8 chapters. We got through 8 chapters over the summer term, and this time Charlie assures me we're going to manage the other 20. So I think we need to speed up a little bit. But it's actually, my point today is not to jump in where we left off, but rather to take us back to the beginning and to whet our appetite a little bit for how relevant what we're going to read about is going to be to us. And there are 3 things, both to look out for as we go through the book of Acts, but also that make it particularly relevant to us today. And the first is this. The book of Acts is about Jesus' continuing work. The book of Acts is about Jesus' continuing work. Acts is first and foremost about what Jesus is doing. Have a look with me at verse 1. It was easy to skip over this. Luke says, "In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven." Luke's gospel is about what Jesus began to do and teach. If part one was about what Jesus began to do and teach, then part two is about what he continues. Acts, that even though Jesus leaves his followers as he goes up to heaven, yet the action that unfolds is the continuing work of Jesus. You might know that in church history, the kind of full title that was often given to this book is the Acts of the Apostles, the Acts of those that Jesus sent out. But just as easily, I mean, the title isn't kind of part of the text of Acts, and you could just as easily say these are the continuing acts of Jesus. And this history is going to help us see that though Jesus might have returned to heaven to reign at his Father's right hand, he is continuing to work in the world today. But how is he going to do that? How does he do that? Well, that's the second thing Luke wants to show us. He wants to show us how Jesus works today. The book of Acts is going to show us the difference that the Spirit makes. We're going to see the difference that the Spirit makes. We're going to see Jesus' ongoing work through the Holy Spirit. In the Bible, God is one God in 3 persons. He is Father, he is Son, and he is Holy Spirit. And in the book of Acts, we see the Lord Jesus continuing his work through the Holy Spirit. Have a look with me at verse 4. On one occasion, while Jesus was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." In the Old Testament, time again, and they waited for it many, many years. The gift of the Holy Spirit. And now Jesus says to his disciples, that gift has arrived. I don't know whether Christmas, how you waited and waited and waited. I remember one year getting a train set that I'd been waiting quite a long time for. Maybe you had a similar experience. Well, the Jews, they had been waiting for many centuries for the gift that their heavenly Father had promised. And now, says Jesus, it's Christmas. Or more exactly, it's Pentecost. God, the heavenly Father, is going to give you the Holy Spirit. His gift has arrived. He is making good on his promise. And so it's no surprise that they ask the question in verse 6 that we might have initially thought was a little bit of a strange one. Then they gathered round him and asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? What's that about? Well, the restoration of the kingdom to Israel, in some ways, is a way of summarizing all those Old Testament promises, of saying that God was going to put things right for his people Israel, and through them, put the world right. And so if you are one of Jesus' disciples and you hear that the Holy Spirit is about to be given, you think, brilliant, God is about to keep all those promises we have waited so long to keep. Well, we're looking forward to a world made right, a world with no suffering, a world with no oppression, a world where he will raise his people to live forever. And it's about to happen. Well, not quite, says Jesus. Not yet. Verse 7, it's not for you to know the times or dates that the Father has set by his own authority. Not yet, says Jesus. Many of those promises, that they're not coming revealed to you, the timing of when they exactly will happen. And yet, in the gift of the Holy Spirit, those promises have begun their fulfillment. God has started to make good on all that he promised his people. They would receive the Holy Spirit. And through the Holy Spirit, the kingdom of Jesus will begin to spread on earth. Because through the Holy Spirit, he would give them power. Have a look with me at verse 8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. Imagine for a second that you had a visitor and they had never heard of the concept of electricity. They'd never seen a plug socket like this one up here. And you pointed to them and said, in that plug socket is power. They would look at you very confused. And I think people often think the same thing when we talk about the Holy Spirit. We can't see the Holy Spirit. In the Bible, there are sometimes signs that he's there, a dove or a cloud, but we can't actually physically see him. And the idea that God has come to live with us, to give us power for the work that he has given us to do, it's hard to believe. It's as hard to believe as someone pointing at a plug socket and saying, there is power. Because you look at it and you think, well, that's just a hole in the wall. Three little pinpricks in the wall. How is that going to give power? So what would you do? Well, you'd get a TV like this one. You'd plug it into the wall, you'd turn it on and say, look, it's made the TV work. Or you get a microwave. You take it over and you put it there, put a microwave meal inside, turn it on, cook it, comes out. You say, look, power. You'd get a big sound speaker and you'd boom out noise. Look, power is going to do for us. It's going to show God's people with God's power to do God's work. It's going to show us that even though we can't see the Holy Spirit, if the Lord Jesus has given the Spirit to his church, do his work. But the question is, what is that work? What is the work the Lord Jesus is continuing to do through his church by the Holy Spirit? And that's the third thing I'd like us to see briefly from this passage. The book of Acts is going to show us the church's worldwide witness. The book of Acts is going to show us the church's worldwide witness. What's this power for? Well, look with me at the second half of verse 8. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, and in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Jesus tells his disciples that they are going to be worldwide witnesses. They are going to speak both about what he did, what they saw him do, and what they heard him say. They are going to be his witnesses, not just in Jerusalem, where he's talking to them there, not just in Judea, the area surrounding Jerusalem, not just in Samaria, where the Samaritans lived, who were sort of Jews that had gone astray. No, they are going to speak about what they saw Jesus do and what they heard Jesus say to the very ends of the earth. In the book of Acts, the resurrection is like an earthquake. It's like the epicenter of an earthquake from which spread out ripples and tremors. But beginning in Jerusalem, then in Judea, far, far away from where they'd ever been. And where we're rejoining the book of Acts in chapter 9 is where this epic international explosion began to gather momentum. In the next few months, we are going to see the message about Jesus overcome all sorts of hurdles. We're going to see it overcome social divides, political boundaries, language barriers. We're going to see the message about Jesus take root both in places where they already had some of the Bible and in places where they'd never heard from it at all. We're going to see people become followers of Jesus who you wouldn't expect. We're going to see that the gospel of Jesus hold its own amongst the intellectual elites. And yet we'll see that same gospel of Jesus reach people rejected by society. We're going to see that the gospel of Jesus weather not just bad press and opposition, but even deadly persecution. And yet if you were one of those disciples standing there that day with Jesus, and you heard all the things that were going to happen, you'd have struggled to believe it. In fact, more than that, you'd have struggled to imagine it. We are going to read in the book of Acts about the gospel going to places that they would barely know the name of. Maybe they saw a postcard of it one time. They certainly were very unlikely to have gone there. In fact, most of those disciples, they probably would not have left the country where they lived. They wouldn't have left Israel. And yet, Jesus says to them, "You will be my witnesses. You will speak of this gospel to the very ends of the earth." And that mission, that plan, is still unfolding today. Now, we're not witnesses quite like they were. They were eyewitnesses in that they saw Jesus do these things and they heard his words. Yet you and I, we can be witness testimony as we pass on what Jesus did and what Jesus said. We are drawn into this plan to be witnesses to the very ends of the earth. It can happen even through us. What are those boundaries that we struggle to imagine the gospel overcoming? Perhaps there's a people group that we struggle to imagine people from that people group coming to follow Jesus. Perhaps there are even people that we know in our local community where we think, I can't imagine the gospel reaching them. I'd like us to take a moment just to picture either that group of people or that person in our minds. And then we're going to pray together that through the book of Acts, God would give us confidence in the power of the Spirit to reach even them. So I'd like us to have a moment of quiet to think of who that person or that people group is, then I'll lead us in prayer. Lord Jesus, thank you that you are still at work in this world by the power of your Spirit as your gospel goes out. And we pray for these different people that we bring before you, whether they're groups of people or they're individuals known to us. We pray that you might give us confidence that the gospel can reach even them. And we pray that you might graciously show your power by reaching them. Amen.